rise as I read the scripture. This comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the breath that all of us breathe this morning. We thank you for being here today. We know that your word is a path for us to walk down a life of righteousness. And we know that it's wide and it's deep, but we also know that there are things in there that we don't necessarily understand immediately, wrestle with, or even get maybe a little angry about. So I want to pray over this congregation today to take in the word that David's about to preach to us, to let it fill our hearts and offer some understanding, but also to give ourselves some grace if we don't immediately understand what's going on. Help us know that that's part of the journey. That's what makes this all kind of fun. Hope we have a great rest of the day and a great week ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All scripture is inspired by God. Before we even get started this morning, I want to make sure that we're all coming from the same place, that we're all on the same page. All scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired, it doesn't mean it's inspired like a great work of art. It doesn't mean it's inspired like Kumar Rocker's pitching performance last night, which was inspired. The original Greek literally means all scripture, every word is breathed out by God. We hold in our hands this morning the very breath of the Creator of the universe. Do we stand half in awe of that as we should? We can read the mind of God in the pages of this book. We have access to knowledge that is unshakably true and infinitely valuable. And it sits in our homes collecting dust. Hear me say this as we start this morning. We as Christ followers, we as the local expression of the body of Christ, have absolute and ultimate faith in the Bible. That does not mean that we have every verse memorized. It does not mean we aren't sometimes confused and we don't have some doubts, as Jay prayed for us this morning. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't read things that don't quite make sense. It doesn't mean we have it all figured out. What it means is we believe that this is the holy, infallible, all-sufficient Word of the holy, infallible, all-sufficient God. And every single page brings life and brings salvation. My name is David. I'm the pastor here at the Church at Lachlan Springs. I probably should have led with that. We find ourselves this morning right smack dab in the middle of a quick 3-week study on some foundational spiritual disciplines. these things that we put into practice in our lives that allow us to be filled up with Christ so that we might love and serve from the outflow of Christ in us. Last week, we talked about prayer and the insane reality that we have intimate access. We can communicate with our Creator. This morning, we get to talk about Scripture and the equally insane reality that we have access to the tangible, living Word of that Creator. Now, when we talk about Scripture, so often we go back to 2 Timothy, the verse that Jay read for us this morning. All Scripture is God-breathed, the inspired Word of God. It's good for teaching. It's good for rebuking. We all love that. Jay told me he was going to emphasize that and maybe point out a couple of people when he got to that part of the verse. It's good for correction. It's good for training. That verse was written by Paul in a letter to his protege, Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man. He grew up in a little town in what is modern-day Turkey. He was mixed race. His mother was Jewish. His father was Gentile. That was kind of a big deal back then. He grew up being taught the Holy Scriptures by his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Good North Georgia names, just like my grandmother, Aileen. I know exactly what his childhood would have looked like. Probably a little bit confused, trying to find his place in the world. And then one day, Paul comes rolling into his town, breathing fire. He'd never heard the word quite like that. He'd never met someone that had met Jesus the way Paul did on that road to Damascus. And he knew at that moment he needed more. He approached Paul. Paul took Timothy under his wing. Timothy became, for lack of a better term, Paul's intern, Paul's protege. Paul loved him, encouraged him, discipled him, and eventually placed him in charge of the church at Ephesus. As Paul continued through his travels, he continued to love and disciple and encourage Timothy, oftentimes through letters. This is the second letter we have from Paul to Timothy. It is the last letter Paul wrote, not only to Timothy, but the last letter Paul ever wrote. Because you see, as we know from Paul's letters, and as we know from the stories we have about Paul in the book of Acts, it was not unusual for Paul to run into a little bit of trouble. It was not unusual for Paul to be on the wrong side of the authorities. It was not unusual for Paul to find himself in prison. He always kind of got out of those scrapes by the skin of his teeth, as my mamma would tell me. But this time, Paul realized he's probably not going to get out of this one. The cultural tide had shifted. Nero was the emperor. Persecution was very real and very scary and growing. Paul sat in a hole, a literal hole in Rome, knowing that his execution was maybe weeks, perhaps even days away. And he wrote one final letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, to encourage him, to affirm him. He reminded Timothy that to follow Christ is to guarantee that life will not be easy. Sometimes we get confused. And we think following Christ means butterflies and rainbows, cotton candy and unicorns. And I can tell you this book, the inspired, God-breathed scripture, tells us just the opposite. Paul reminds Timothy of this. Timothy, I know things are hard now. They're going to get harder. In verse 12, Paul says, in fact, every single person who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But then in verse 14, we see Paul begin to encourage his young protege, to encourage this young pastor that no doubt was a little bit scared, a little bit unsure, a little bit insecure. Am I properly equipped? Am I the right man for this job? I can't follow in Paul's footsteps. I can't do what he does. And Paul says, it's okay, Timothy. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you. And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, Timothy, he was brought up by his mother and his grandmother learning these things. Paul knew Timothy's mother and grandmother. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of this letter, he says, hey, Timothy, say hi to your mom and him. Let them know I'm thinking about them too. He says, Timothy, it's okay. I know you're scared. But you know the scriptures and you know who taught them to you. Continue in that direction. These scriptures that you know, Paul writes, are the inspired words of God, each profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Timothy, I know that you're scared. I know that you're insecure. I know that you're unsure and you're confused. It's okay. Because you have access to the all-sufficient Word of God. I know that you're scared. And I know that you're confused. I know that you're insecure and you're worried. And you're unsure. It's okay. You have access to the all-sufficient Word of God. Why do we need Scripture? Well, Paul gives Timothy an abbreviated list. God breathed and good for teaching, for sound doctrine. Your anchor when you're adrift. Good for reproach, rebuking. As excited as some of us get about that, what Paul is talking about, that rebuking is so that we might bring our brothers and sisters that we know back to the truth that they know. Hey, bro, you know this. Come on back. Come on back. It's good for correction. That is teaching us truths that we do not quite know yet. It's good for training. Now, that's something that we need to talk about for a quick second. When we train our bodies, when we go to the gym, it's work. We sweat. We get sore. A couple of days ago, I was in the Y and I did this thing for the first time in a long time. I don't know what you call that thing, but I did that thing. And I'm here to tell you, I'm hurting. like this part back here, these muscles that I didn't know I had, they're not happy with me right now. But I love it. It feels good. I know that it's making me stronger and healthier. Scripture is good for training such that it's going to leave you sore. It's going to leave you wobbly. And the more you do it, the more you need it. And when you miss it, you just don't feel right. Do y'all know how ballerinas spin so many times and don't fall over? Well, you see them, you know, they whip their head around. It's because they found a fixed point in the room that as they spin, they can focus on that fixed point, and in doing so, it lessens the effects of the room spinning around them. Did you also know that if I were to stand up here right now, and the image is laughable, if I were to stand up here right now and begin spinning, it's not that funny, and I focused on a fixed point in the back of the room, that fixed point would lessen the effects of the room spinning around me. But when I was done, I would still be dizzy, because my body is not trained to do that. The reason ballerinas can do it, science now knows, is because the more they do it, the more they focus on that fixed point, eventually their mind and their body becomes trained so that it is immune to the effects of the room spinning around them. The scripture, inspired and God-breathed, is our fixed point as the world continues to spin around us. Most of y'all know that for many years, my family lived in Bologna, Italy. We lived about a 15-minute walk from the center of the city, this place called Piazza Maggiore. I think, yep, there it is right there. Piazza Maggiore is amazing, gorgeous. It is one of many piazzas in Bologna, but it is the kind of heartbeat, the soul of the city. It is the heartbeat and the soul of the city because for centuries, it was the gathering place of the town and the central marketplace. Piazza Maggiore is where everybody would come and they would exchange goods, buy and sell things. As the city grew up around the piazza, that's where you would go to get the building materials as you built your homes and your businesses. One of my favorite parts of that gorgeous piazza is not the beautiful basilica. It's not the gorgeous palazzi on either side. It's these strange markings on a wall on the side of Piazza Maggiore. I walked by those 1,000 times, never paid any attention to them. And then one day, some friends of mine came in. They wanted to see the city, so I decided to take them on an actual, real, like, honest to goodness, paid for tour. And the tour guide stopped. And he pointed these things out. And for the first time, I knew what they were. These are the ancient Bolognese standards of measurement. The smallest line is a foot. The line on the right side is an arm. Longest line is 10 arms. The squares you see on the far side, the big one is a standard Bolognese brick. The triangular one is a standard roof tile. See, they didn't have things that were prepackaged. They didn't have things that were laser cut. So as someone went into the piazza in Bologna and they needed materials to buy their house, they needed to know that the bricks that they were buying were the same bricks that they bought last month. You got different shaped and sized bricks. Your house doesn't stand very long. This was the measuring stick so that they knew the structure they were building was sound and would last for centuries. The scripture, inspired and God breathed, is our fixed point. And it is our measuring stick. Now, there are some of you right now sitting in these pews and you're thinking, Hannah, that's all well and good, but I don't get it. I've got three of these sitting in my house right now, and every so often I go back to them because I know I'm supposed to be studying them, and I open the scripture and I read for 5 minutes and nothing happens. I don't get it. I don't feel it. It doesn't do for me what C.S. Lewis does for me. It doesn't do for me what John Piper or Francis Chan or Timothy Keller do for me. So I'm going to stick to C.S. Lewis and John Piper and Francis Chan and Timothy Keller. Let me tell you, all of those authors and so many more are amazing. They have been formative in my life. I chose those four specifically because I've probably read those four more than any others. Because I love them so desperately. I owe them so much. They are not the Word of God. They are amazing and they are helpful. They are not God-breathed. How do we plumb the depths of such a profound instrument? How do we possibly access the wisdom of this scripture that is God breathed, every word of it? Well, you start by reading it. I don't care who you are. I don't care where or how you've been educated. The Bible tells us that God's word does not return void. If you read the scripture and you expect, you ask the Holy Spirit to move in that time, that prayer will be answered. How do we study the scripture? We approach it with reverence, with recognition that it is the living, breathing word of the Creator of the universe and not a textbook. We do it individually, on our own, in our homes, desperate to seek this wisdom, making it a part of the rhythm of our lives, expecting the Holy Spirit to move in that time. We do it in groups, with friends, so that we can study together, borrow each other's perception and perspective, struggle through it together, lean on the insights the Holy Spirit has given us. We praise the Lord that we live in a time that each and every one of us has access to incredible tools every day for free. Study Bibles, commentaries that give us guidance and context, adding depth and wisdom to our studies. The story of the Good Samaritan doesn't quite have the impact if you don't know the history of the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus and his confrontations with the Pharisees doesn't quite have the impact if you don't know who the Pharisees are. I've got good news for you. The vast and overwhelming majority of you in this room have a Google machine in your pocket. Those things are not hard to find. How do we study the scriptures? Most of all, we approach them with courage and curiosity. If this book contains the inspired, God-breathed word of our Creator, which it does, it is worthy of your honesty. It is worthy of your questions. The living, breathing Word of God is not afraid of your doubts. When we study the Scriptures, when we have access to the mind of our Heavenly Father, do so recognizing that He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your questions. Ask the Lord for an insatiable desire to know and a curiosity that doesn't allow you to escape it. As Paul encourages him and reminds him, it's okay, Timothy, I know you're scared. I know you're unsure. I know the world is spinning around you. But in the all-sufficient Word of God, you have a fixed point and you have a measuring stick. He doesn't stop there. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, comma, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good word. We are given access to the holy word of God so that we may be filled up by his spirit, completed with his spirit, so that it pours out of us, so that we are equipped for every good word. Generations have grown up in pews just like these. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Know every single Bible story in here, and they have read it as though it was a textbook so they can pass a test. That's not why God gave us the Scriptures. It's not to be studied in theory. This is lecture lab. This is to be studied and then put into practical application. This is to be read, learned, embraced, and then done. Guys, when we immerse ourselves in the holy, living, breathing, inspired Word of God, our lives change. It changes how you think. It changes how you experience the world around you. It changes your relationships. And it changes your actions. it becomes inescapable. But this morning, I don't want you to simply hear it from me. I want you to hear the words of someone that is experiencing this in their own lives right now. Ryan, can you come up here for a second? I want to introduce you to my dear friend Ryan Preston. I've been privileged to be in a Bible study with Ryan and several other friends for quite some time. Ryan, you've told me a lot of your story. It's been a privilege to get to know you and to watch you study the scripture. What has changed in the way you have approached the scripture during this season of your life?
Yeah, I think the biggest change that I had when it come to approaching scripture and reading scripture was getting involved into a small group. Growing up in church, being a believer most of my life, you know, as long as I can remember, scripture was never a big part of my life. I was the very typical Christian of my Bible, sat on my book stand, sat on my nightstand, and was touched every Sunday coming to church. But when we got into a small group, when you asked me to be part of the small group that you wanted to start when you first started, I wasn't nervous about that. You know, I didn't, like I said, I wasn't a big reader. My knowledge was very minimal. You know, I knew the big stories, right? And, you know, I knew about Jesus and dying on the cross and, you know, raising from the dead and other stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and you name it. But it provided a lot of intentionality to my reading. And the first few months or so, even in the Bible study, I struggled with that. You know, I did the typical, let me read it the night before and let me try to get caught up to speed so I don't look like a fool in my small group the next day. But as I started reading more, as we had more and more conversations into our small group, I became more interested in it. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to have more experiences. I wanted to be able to speak more and ask more questions. So being in a small group has done tremendous things for me, and it continues to do tremendous things for me, and it continues to push me to read more and to learn more and understand more. Yeah. Now I'm spending time, I'm Googling, right? I'm Googling, tell me about this, tell me about these things. I don't understand this. You know, I've bought a book on commentary. I'm reading commentary as I'm studying. So all of these things have had a tremendous effect on my life over the last year and a half now.
As your taste and hunger for God's word has grown over this last year, how has that like practically impacted your life?
Yeah, I think just a lot of small things have impacted my life. I mean, even to say, like, my wife and I, we've been together for 4 years now. I'd say over the last year, we've had more conversations about our faith with each other than we ever have the entire time we've known each other. And we've been married for four and have been together for 10 years. Sorry. yes, we've been together a long time, and
the Bible can get you through this.
Yes, thank you. So yeah, but we've, like I said, we've had more conversations about our faith and what mm-hmm. our faith means to us and our family. What do we want to do? What does our faith look like together as a family? And, you know, how do we raise an 18-month-old and another baby on the way? You know, what all does that look like? That those are small things that have had major impacts in my life. In addition to all this reading, too, I find that there's been events in my life, opportunities in my life that have come up that I'm seeing now. There's side conversations that I'm being part of that are related to the scripture that I'm studying and that I'm reading. And it provides me actually an opportunity to speak into that. Whereas before, it was likely I probably wouldn't have even recognized what they were talking about. And secondly, I wouldn't know how to relate that back to the scripture and so on. So now I'm able to capture those opportunities that present itself. I will say I don't capture all of them. There are definitely things that come up throughout my life that I miss. And to be honest, you know, I'm still scared about it. I'm still scared to have those conversations with people and to talk about those topics that I'm still a little uncomfortable with and that I'm still not very knowledgeable about. So those are very small impacts that I've had. And then also, too, probably the biggest one, as we went through the year-long Bible study that we did together, as you kind of stepped away to kind of transition to a new phase of your teaching, I kind of had a desire and a push by God to say, hey, why don't you take on kind of a leadership capacity of some sort. So now, you know, I try to lead as much as I can with my small group. I kind of, Daniel Van and I, we kind of pass off every other week or so due to, you know, work constraints or things like that. But I think having an opportunity to lead a small group as well has also, again, made it more intentional for me to be in the scripture. You know, every Sunday usually is my dedicated time. I'll actually block off 2 hours or so, and I'm studying, and I'm trying to study to not only to prepare for the small group on Monday, but also just to learn and continue to grow as a believer.
Beautiful. Finally, if you could only say one thing to the Ryan Prestons that are here this morning, or to that person that's here this morning that's never even owned a Bible, what's the one thing you would want them to know?
You've kind of hit on a lot of it today already. I would just encourage you all that, I would encourage you all that it's okay not to understand. We had a First Wednesday back in January where Big Paul came and he spoke to us about these same topics. Mm-hmm. And he said something about it's okay to not understand, right? And you kind of hit on it with the, you know, doing this exercise here, you know, running a marathon, you know, studying scripture and all that stuff. It's like running a marathon. It's like training. It's like doing all that stuff. There's a lot of times when you begin, you're not going to understand. And I think previously, looking back at my life, I would read and literally just close the Bible and be so frustrated and so angry and saying, I don't understand. And I was questioning my own faith. And for whatever reason, that discussion on First Wednesday put a lot of peace into me to say that it's okay not to understand. And I still read scripture today, and I still don't understand. You know, I'll read through an entire chapter and say that didn't make a lick of sense. And I'll have to go back and read it again and read it again and read it again. So I would just encourage you all, if you are frustrated, if you don't understand, that's okay. I've been there and I'm still there. There are still definitely times where I struggle through it all the time. So be encouraged by it. Mm-hmm. Be encouraged by the struggle. Be encouraged by maybe the misunderstandings you have, because I think it's just God working in your life, and like you said, he wants you to ask those questions and be into it. So,
guys, it's not rocket science. Carly prayed for us this morning, and she prayed a psalm, Psalm 34. It's one of my favorite psalms. What it says is, taste and see. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Ryan's word for it. Taste and see for yourself. The word of God will not return void. Ryan, would you close us out with a word of prayer this morning?
Yeah. Father God, I want to thank you first off for this congregation, for David, the impact that they've had on my walk, mm-hmm. And my wife's walk. I mean, our family will be forever grateful for them. I thank you for for your word, for your scripture, for a tangible object that we can go to no matter what stage of life we may be in, or the ups and downs that we may be facing over the course of our life. We can go to your word, and you will provide the guidance and the path that we need, and it's all going to be according to your will. Again, thank you for bringing us here. I ask that you continue to guide this congregation and guide us as we leave here, and please bring us back safe next week. In your name we pray. Amen.